At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Getting ready to join us in studio right now is the documentarian who produced and directed Gone Girls, the Long Island serial killer on Netflix, which is right now the number one out of Netflix top 10, which is awesome. And this, of course, is a case and a story that is close to us, having grown up on Long Island and doing the radio show here. I remember the day that they went and arrested Rex Huerman. We were live on the air. It was amazing. And that's Liz Garbus. Liz, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, congratulations on the success of this. It is something that, of course, locally is a big deal, but it seems like it's captured the attention nationally. And these stories tend to, but in the way that you told this is different than maybe some of these other serial killer documentaries, because you wanted to make sure that the victims and their families were at the center of this, because in a lot of these cases, especially when we're talking about, you know, sex workers and the police looking for them, they don't get the same type of attention that the soccer mom in the suburbs would. So that was important to you, yes?
That was really what drew me to the case. I mean, you know, as you said, the soccer mom, the college student who goes missing while on spring break, you know, the world pays attention and you know, the forces are deployed, you know, to find out every scrap of evidence. Here there are young women going missing and their sisters couldn't get them on the National Missing Persons Registry, you know, so that they would cross-check different jurisdictions. So you had families that were in a lot of pain and, you know, cops would tell them things like, you know, they'll come back, they'll show up. But, you know, these are people where it's like, no, I was supposed to see her Wednesday and she hasn't called, right? Just the same way if you had a friend who didn't show up on Wednesday, you would know something was wrong. They knew something was wrong with their sister. But there are all these assumptions that are made about these women that, you know, in most cases just didn't bear out.
Yeah, and, you know, the way that this started is truly amazing, because we still don't know exactly what happened to Shannon Gilbert. And Shannon Gilbert, of course, and her mother Mary, and the demands and being keeping her name in the news and making sure that News 12 and the Long Island Press and Newsday and everybody was still talking about her, you know, put the pressure on the police department at the time to go search for her, and there's the Gilgo 4. I mean, I don't think there's any case like that in the country. And then still to this day, her, you know, she's there, was the key to finding the other bodies, but we still don't know what happened to her.
We have no resolution for her family. And, you know, is it a conspiracy theory of, like, it is involved with Rex's case and there are people in the community there who know about it? Or is it a coincidence? I mean, there are many people in law enforcement who I talk to who say, this is a different story, right? This is a young woman who went out there with a driver that's different from the others. She called 911. She was on the phone with the police. That's different from the others. If you're a practiced serial killer and you want to keep going, you're going to not pursue her, right? There are different, really different circumstances. But at the same time, there's so much that connects her. She was working on Craigslist. She's the same type, build. It's the same time frame and it's right next door. And you're asking me to believe that she went running, took her clothes off, ran into the middle of the march and just expired.
At a young age.
At a young age. It's hard to know where to put your eggs in what basket.
You know, the amazing thing is, Liz, living on the South Shore like we do, and we know Ocean Parkway, we know Gilgo, we know the area. For years, we grew up and we were over there on the beaches, and you could see the denseness of everything that's around there, growing there, and how these women could go missing like this and never be found. And then to find this one body, and also, you know, I mean, these four bodies that leads back. I mean, for you as the documentarian, I'm just wondering, was it difficult to get answers that you were looking for? Were people stonewalling you, or were there people that were really trying to help you?
Both. So I started work, you know, as a filmmaker on this story back in 2015. There was a book called Lost Girls that Bob Kolker wrote that reported on all the families of Shannon and the Gilgo Four. This was before the case was solved. We made a movie for Netflix, a scripted movie, before the case was solved, based on Mary's story, her advocacy, and the community of families that came together to demand answers in this case. So I was walking around there in Oak Beach and Gilgo through those, you know, at that time before the case was solved. Little did I know, during that time at Suffolk County, there was a corrupt, in the law enforcement, there was a corrupt administration. There were so many theories going around. Oh, the cops are in on this. It turns out, there's no proof of that, but it turns out the cops were in on something, because under the leadership of Jimmy Burke, who is now a convicted felon, there was a major cover-up and conspiracy going on, and they really took their eyes off the ball of this case. When I came back to the case after Huerman was arrested, there were a lot of people who were willing to talk and give answers. There was a new administration there, yes. New police chief, new DA. It was a new day.
Yeah, and that's something, a distinction here that I want to make clear. You know, the Suffolk County Police Department right now and District Attorney Ray Tierney are doing a tremendous job. Commissioner Catalina, it's a different time. Suffolk County with James Burke was a wild, crazy time. And I guess if we could jump around, I got a million questions for you. But like, why was Jimmy Burke so against the FBI coming in and helping with this case? Was it because he was so against it to the point that people were making him a suspect? Was it just because he didn't want them poking around because he had so many crazy illegal things going on?
Yeah, well, I want to answer that, but I want to respond to your first point because it's really important. Like Suffolk County, it is a new day there. And Ray Tierney, the DA, I mean, case in point, when there was a new administration in there, they formed the Gilgo Task Force. It took them 6 weeks to come up with the name. Okay, that work could have been done under Jimmy Burke, right?
Yeah.
So there is a new administration in there, and that's good news for Suffolk County.
Maybe somebody else wouldn't have died after the fact, you know, if they would have gotten on it earlier and done what they were supposed to do. I agree with, I think, the assumption that we're making here is that because of the corruption that was in the previous group, that they didn't want anybody else around them finding anything else out that had nothing to do with this.
That's right. Commissioner Dormer was the first commissioner who got the case after he retired. And they were collaborating with the FBI. When he retired and DA Spoda appointed Burke, they shut out the FBI. They went into very kind of basic policing tactics, like not wanting to deal with all the fancy bells and whistles. And I think that was partially because they didn't want the FBI investigating them.
How maddening is that for you, covering all this?
I mean, I can only imagine how the families feel when they think about a decade went going by, and then it took 6 weeks under new leadership.
Yeah, and we're talking to Liz Garbus, Gone Girls, Netflix documentary, Gilgo Beach Murders. And, I mean, it's amazing. So when the description, you know, ogre-like, and this first edition Chevy Avalanche, I mean, that right there. And then the fact that we're talking commuter, Massapequa, I mean, it was right there on a platter. Now, we don't know if there were other victims, at least up until this point, after that whole encounter had gone on. But, I mean, chances are there were, with the way that Rex was bouncing around and all different sorts of things. But I used to perceive this case that he was never going to get caught, because it was like, it didn't make any sense. You know, there's body parts here, there's body parts there. It could be 15 different people. In the end, it was right there in front of everybody, but no one wanted to really look at it until the task force.
That's right. So they were able to track the burner phones that the young woman were using and figure out pretty early on that there was, you know, something called the Massapequa box, that a lot of the pings were going there. And then there were also a lot of pings in Midtown Manhattan. So they developed a theory really early on that he was a commuter from that area, Massapequa area, to Manhattan. And then, as you mentioned, there was another, when Amber Costello went missing, her roommate saw a guy who had been rough with her on a date before. And he described the car, the Chevy Avalanche, and he described the physique of this man that was quite unusual. Mm-hmm. You know, big, ogre-like, more than 6 feet. So you had a lot of information that when Tierney and co. took over, they could work on.
Yeah.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
And, of course, DNA is a huge deal. I see the defense attorney, you know, talking about how this is new technology and new DNA, and that's going to be their thing with Rex Heuermann. It just makes me sick. There's enough evidence, I'm sure, that she's going to be convicted. But the DNA story is amazing as well because of the pizza box and the crust. I mean, that's straight out of a scripted movie. But I mean, they had all that there, and all they needed was to get that pizza box and that crust. And they were able to do it. Do you think that there's any chance that this defense attorney can poke holes into that DNA part of it, like he's trying to do in the news?
Look, they'll always try to poke holes on it. I've sat on lots of trials where, you know, defense attorneys and prosecutors will poke holes in DNA evidence, just as they should. That's their job. But, you know, this DNA technology has been used in lots of courts, and it stood up a lot. So I think they have a pretty good case. They also have a lot of other evidence. I mean, the stuff that they found on his computer.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's stuff that we don't know about, too. You know, when I started working on this documentary, he was charged with the murders of three women. You know, a person of interest in a fourth. Now it's seven. This is still an evolving case. As we all know, there are a lot of women who are missing or, you know, remains have been found in Long Island. And, you know, there are a lot of questions about how big this case will get.
Any idea how long he's been doing this for, or how long they think he's been doing it for?
Well, really tragically, we know his first victim was 1993, the first one he's charged with.
Wow.
Right. And then there's a gap of
10 years,
at least 10. Yes, 10 years. So what are we thinking? He just stopped for 10 years?
No, there's got to be more in there, you would think. It just makes sense that there would be more victims there. But in terms of, what are you hearing about Rex Heuermann himself? Is he he's not helping, of course. He's trying to defend himself, I guess.
Yeah, I definitely don't think he's helping. I mean, I think that the, you know, the wife and the kids have been spotted going in and out. You know, sometimes she's there for him, sometimes she's not. You know, I think he, I don't know, I can't, you know, when you think about these guys, it's like, to me, like, who can understand that? There's no way, we try, there's no way to understand a brain, like a mind like this.
Yeah, I will say, though, in seeing a lot of documentaries and following serial killer documentaries, as we talked to Liz Garbus, Gone Girls, you haven't seen it on Netflix, you absolutely have to watch it. A lot of these guys, I shouldn't say a lot, there have been guys like the Green River Killer that once they're caught and they're presented with this evidence, it's almost like they're proud to talk about it at that point. They just spill everything out there. The BTK Killer is another one. And they just talk about it in plain terms. And I did this and then I did that. So I was thinking when presented with all that evidence that Rex would at that point just be like, okay, you got me. Let's talk about this, because part of him would be proud of it like others. And that hasn't happened to this point. So it's if there's going to be a trial with the trial without him pleading guilty, I mean, that's going to be a spectacle. And I'm not sure exactly when that is. Do you know when a trial is going to happen?
We don't know. Don't know. But it feels like they're making moves that it's on its way. Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who clearly liked to flaunt his power over people, right? He made those taunting phone calls to some of the friends and family members. Yeah. Some of the coworkers describe creepy things he did, like sending notes to them when they were on vacation, just like, I know where you are. He liked to have control and power over women. Is not pleading guilty a way to maintain power, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, it's amazing. I was reading an article about you in 2016. You were at dinner and you got the call that Mary had died. And that was something that was a little bit of an awakening moment for you. And I think back to that dinner that night, what was that like for you and the emotions that went into that?
I mean, it was completely shocking. So Mary Gilbert is the mother of Shannon Gilbert, and she was killed tragically by her daughter, another, you know, obviously a different daughter who was suffering a mental health break. And there's no way to describe that. I mean, a reaction to that, it is the tragedy that has struck this family. You know, Cherie Gilbert is Shannon's sister, who I know still is fighting for justice for her sister. She lost her mother, her other sister's in prison.
I mean, that's a story in itself.
There's a lot of struggle there. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, you did a tremendous job profiling the two sides of Rex, where they, you know, he would go on these family reunions and the family was completely shocked because he was, you know, like they called him Sweet Rex or something like that. He would organize these things and he was just just a totally, totally different person. Of course, as you say, it's hard to profile these guys, but you know, I guess what's fascinating is to a lot of the serial killers, you know, like a Ted Bundy maybe, or even some of the Green River killers, they have a way at first to maybe be charming enough to be trusted. And then all of a sudden, you know, the dark side comes out. I mean, it's almost like it's a technique of almost a wild animal that'll give you like a call and then wants to eat you. It's insane how the brain works with these monsters.
Did you see the video that we include in our documentary of the French guy interviewing Rex?
Yeah, of course, on YouTube, yeah.
I don't think he's very charming or he's got anything there. Let's not give him all that, right? Because, like, frankly, nothing. He just looks like this is big zero. Like, there's not,
but his family did talk about how, like,
that he was sweet.
Right,
but they also said, like, he lived like a filthy sicko, right?
Yeah,
they
said
they were totally disturbed by going to his house. So I think that, like, there's a lot of, like, of course he could be sweet sometimes, he could fake it, but they also, I mean, there are all these stories about him being inappropriate and with coworkers. I know he worked in a building of a friend. He was always overcharging them. Like, he would, like, come in for 5 minutes and then figure out a way to come in the next day so that he could bill for the travel time twice. They all got fed up and fired him. So, I don't know. I'm not going to give him all that credit.
Okay.
You know, it was amazing. You talk about that interview. That was the interview that we looked at that day that we found out about his name.
Right, yeah.
We were on the air when this happened, and they arrested Rex Uhrman, and Gio and I were able to find out his name. well, we couldn't put it out there. And then we started going through the websites with this guy's name, and it's all up there, and you could see all of this. You could see all these interviews. And then all of a sudden, literally within a 45-minute period, it was all gone. It was all gone because now his name had come out.
I was right there with you. I was screenshotting all of it. Yeah, I was like, oh, my God, his daughter works with him. Oh, boy, like, what is this story going to be?
You know? Yeah. And the family, you know, and I know there's some hairs from the family, you know, found on some victims. They don't believe that the family was involved. It's just things that were transferred. And then also the timelines where it looks like they were gone for days, whether in Iceland or in other places, Atlantic City, where he had committed these murders. So, I mean, it's not as if he was, you know, killing these women and then coming home and eating dinner with his family. It did seem like there was a lot of the times that they had been gone, then he'd meet them later, and that's when he would kill.
And do you remember, in the first episode, there's a clip from Richard Dormer, who first got the case back in 2011 after they found Shannon Gilbert, and he said back then, if he's a family man and his family is probably away when he's doing these killings. I mean, they had so much information back then.
Yeah.
It's a tragedy. Really.
So this story is not even close to an end yet. Do you still see more add on to your documentary, or is this an end point for you?
I don't know. Let's see. You know, I'm going to be watching the trial like you, like all of us, and how much more we will learn. Obviously, there's been a lot of interest in this case. I love how viewers are coming to this, kind of how you guys started the conversation, like victims first, like thinking about these women and who they were. So if there's more that we can understand as we go through this trial, then maybe there's more.
Yeah, and there's like I said, I got 10 million questions. So I'm going to bounce around. Another question I had for you in learning and producing this documentary, did the Spoda-Burke relationship, who, you know, Spoda the DA, Burke the police commissioner, when most of this corruption was going on, did Spoda really have Jimmy Burke's back all those years just because of that when he testified in that first case that put him on the map, Spoda? Is that really the thing that just from that moment, or was there more to that story?
I mean, this is one of the most incredible things, to find footage of a 16-year-old Jimmy Burke with Spoda, who's then a grown man lawyer, and seeing them in an interrogation room together when Jimmy Burke, who's a juvenile, you know, kind of snitch, low-level drug guy, coming in and giving evidence on one of the most notorious cases in Long Island, the killing of a young boy who went out one night on his bike and never came home.
Pius,
Johnny Pius. And Jimmy Burke, a 16-year-old low-level drug dealer, comes in and gives the testimony that puts these other kids away. A lot of people want to go back and look at that case. I don't know that it's the one thing, but it set a relationship in motion of a collaboration between these two guys, which would really plague Suffolk County citizens.
Yeah, and then, you know, Steve Ballone, who we know is a Suffolk County executive for a very long time, you know, he comes in, and, you know, I don't know how much blame he gets or not, but, you know, he gets Spoda, who at that time was still well regarded, you know, chirping him and saying, you got to get Jimmy Burke in there. You got to get Jimmy Burke in there. And Ballone's like, well, I mean, he's coming with this tremendous endorsement from Spoda, who everybody loves. And then Jimmy Burke gets, you know, goes up three or four ranks, which is unheard of, to police commissioner. And then all of a sudden, Steve Ballone's got this disaster on his hands that he's got to clean up.
Well, maybe if Ballone had talked to other folks in law enforcement about Jimmy Burke, he would not have, made that decision.
You think about where he came from to where he ascended to, that's corruption.
Oh.
Plain and simple. Plain and simple. Yeah. I was also thinking about, you know, just as you're going through all the footage, and you must have had so much raw footage, how much was left on the floor?
Oh, I have no idea.
From your creative perspective, you obviously want to make something that's interesting for people to watch. And it's a very touchy subject. It's a very emotional subject for somebody like you that's putting it together. I'm just wondering, like, how do you get yourself through all of that to be able to put something like this that has become the number one show on Netflix? So congratulations for that. But unfortunately, it's a horrible story to tell.
It's a horrible story. But I was really happy to tell it, like, with the voices of the women first and forward. So that always gave us, like, a mantra or a raison d'etre of, like, how we're putting this together and how we're leading this story. We're not leading it with Rex. We're not leading with an investigation that wasn't actually happening. You know, that's what makes it, I think, feel different than a lot of other shows. And that kind of North Star was what got us through.
Yeah, I mean, it is, it's amazing. It's a great documentary, and anybody who's interested in this, you know, and it's the first one, by the way, that is out there with the Rex Huerman arrest and all of that stuff. There's a million of them out there prior to that, and this is the first one that's got the full story. There was one, I forget who put it out, and I don't want to knock anybody, but there was one before he got caught. It was a Long Island serial killer documentary that I was so excited. I went in, I'm like, man, there's going to be some new stuff in here. And they were so lost on what was going on in the case that they changed the whole documentary to talk about how truck drivers could be serial killers and then dump bodies all over the country. And at that point, I said, they're never going to find this guy. They're never going to find him. But they found him. Thank God. So
thank God. Yeah.
Thank God for people like you who put something like this together. So, Liz, it was great to meet you, man. And congratulations on the success of your documentary.
Thanks so much for having me. And I got to give a shout out to Tommy Coryell, your number one fan.
Oh, all right. Tommy.
Okay, good.
Great meeting you, Liz. Congrats.
You.
Take care.
Hang on for a sec, Liz. We'll take a picture. Liz
Garbus, check out Gone Girls, Gilgo Beach Murders, Long Island Serial Killer on Netflix.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.